Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the big show. Wow, I think I just channeled P.T. Barnum there. Maybe it's because I just saw The Greatest Showman this weekend. And by the way, pretty darn good movie. But no, it is I, Andy Gallardo, with the Get Fit podcast series, and welcome to episode number 8, titled Get Protected, an interview with Guy Trotter, CEO of a company called Surface Sunscreen. Now, I came across this company a while back while surfing with my boys, and I ended up meeting with and speaking with Guy. He has a great story on how he got started, and of course, a great story on the importance of sunscreen. This is Kaiser Permanente, by the way, and yes, we do believe in SPF. This episode is a little different from our previous episodes as we explore marketing and a little bit of human behavior. And of course, we talk about the importance of protecting yourself from the sun. I think you'll really like it. Of course, a couple of quick disclaimers. This information is not intended to replace your healthcare professional. Opinions of hosts and guests do not represent the views or opinions of Kaiser Foundation Health Plan, KFHP, Kaiser Foundation Hospitals, KFH, or Southern California Permanente Medical Group, SCPMG. Neither KFHP, KFH, or SCPMG receive any compensation for products or services mentioned on the show, nor do they endorse or promote any products mentioned. With that, I hope you enjoy the show. All right, Guy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
So just to give the listeners a little context, a while back, I went surfing with my son, and we stopped at a surf store in Dana Point.
Right.
And the owner was this really cool guy. He gave us all these cool surfing tips. And on my way out, I'm like, you know what? I need some sunscreen. And so I grabbed a bottle of sunscreen, and Brady and I went surfing. And it's just the weirdest thing. Like, it wasn't something you ever think about, but I remember thinking like, wow, I don't even feel this sunscreen on. And it lasted for like 4 hours. So I got back and I'm like, I need to look this company up. And like, I think I sent you an email.
Right.
And it came back. I'm like, holy cow, this guy's the CEO. And so it's just somebody I, you know, really thought that our company needs to partner with. So having said all that,
right,
you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Again, thank you for reaching out to us. You know, it was exciting to get something from Kaiser Permanente, who, you know, I've had as a father. My son was born at a Kaiser hospital, and so it was exciting. But my background has been in action sports, and so I've been involved in surfing, growing up surfing competitively, wanted to be a professional, never worked out. You guys didn't make money doing it. So I went on and getting.
So you were pretty good
then. In the industry. I was okay. I mean, I was good. There's guys who were way better than me. And I realized it pretty early on that I wasn't good enough. Again, the guys weren't making a lot of money as they do nowadays. It was a certain group that were making money. But anyways, I wanted to always be in the surf industry. So I got into the industry, became a sales rep, later became a sales manager. And in doing that, I've worked for some pretty amazing companies, Oakley, Rip Curl. I was at Burton Snowboards, helped launch a clothing brand called Analog with Burton.
Yeah.
Yep. I was back in the 90s. I'm almost 50 now. But back in the 90s, I started a brand called On a Mission, OAM, which all my partners were the number one surfers in the world at the time. And we started a surf accessory brand called On a Mission. And that thing was a rocket ship in terms of growth, and obviously distribution and different things like that. I was 25 at the time, didn't know anything about business. And so really was a vertical learning curve, in terms of about business and running a business and cash flow and everything else. So, I left that and started that in 92 and left that in, 2000. And then I went to work for, Oakley and, like I said, Burton, yeah. And I mean, gosh, man, I say all this stuff and kind of, you know, you go around the block, and I've been around the block for sure in terms of career path, but, I've been able to work with some pretty incredible people. I worked for, when I came up with Surface, I was the general manager for a guy named Kerry Hart, a freestyle motocross guy.
Oh yeah.
First guy to do the flip.
Big name, yeah.
So I was his general manager, for his clothing line. And then, came up with Surface, as a business, you know, had the kind of the wow moment in terms of something that hasn't been done
okay,
in the action sports world or in the sports world.
So I want to ask you about the name, but before we get there, so did all this, the surfing in the background, was that all in Southern California, or have you been all over?
Well, I mean, I've traveled the world. You know, I haven't been to every place. You know, I've been to Hawaii numerous times, done all that. Mexico, you know, amazing. I met my wife in Cabo San Lucas, you know, so I've definitely been to, you know, Mexico a bunch of times. And you know, I've been to England and Puerto Rico and El Salvador and Costa Rica, you know, just all these different places. Amazing places. So surfing's always been, I'm a surf turkey at heart. So surfing's always been a part of the makeup of me and what I've been doing. I've been super fortunate in the fact and in the sense that I've been able to get these work for these companies that are their mantras are encased in action sports and encased in surfing.
Right.
So it's been again, I've been very fortunate in that sense.
So you've worked with some really cool brands. So you really must have been passionate about this to kind of leave those cool brands. And I think you were at an event, right, where you had kind of your aha moment.
Yes, exactly.
So tell us about what happened.
Yeah, so I was working for Kerry Hart, like I said, for his company, Hart & Huntington, which is a clothing brand. And he has tattoo parlors and stuff around. He had one at the Hard Rock in Las Vegas. He's got it in Orlando and different places like that. And anyways, we were working for Hart & Huntington. We had a Supercross team. So we were at the finals in Supercross, which is held out at the Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas.
Las Vegas, yeah.
And so we were out there. My wife was with me. Carrie's from Vegas. So we had, you know, we had some guests with us and things like that. And we were in the stands. My wife and I were in the stands with our guests. And it was sunny and wind blowing and the whole nine yards. And my wife hands me whatever it was, a Copper Tone or Banana Boat or whatever spray it was. And I use it, and some stranger sitting in front of me turned around and begged me for it. And he was all burnt and everything else. And so I gave it to him. He used it. Then he passed it off to his friends, and his friends used it. And so they handed it back to us empty, and they kind of shook the can and we all kind of chuckled.
Yeah.
You know, it was all good fun, but we all chuckled about it. And it was literally right there that I kind of looked around at the crowd and noticed, you know, I always say this, but 40,000 screaming, drunk, burnt fans of action sports, and not one brand of sunscreen is talking to these people. And not only that, but the stadium wasn't even selling any kind of product whatsoever, be it Copper Tone, Cheap and Deep, whatever, you know, any of that kind of stuff. They weren't even offering sunscreen in the stadium.
Right.
And there's all these fans, and they're definitely burnt. They're all in tank tops, drink, you know, just out having a good time. And they're just forgetting about sun protection. And there was nothing there. And so it just really struck me. And I literally went home and started the process of just understanding what I was thinking and what, if there was something there. From a brand standpoint, what does it take to get the products going? What does it take to do these sort of things? And literally spent, and my family will attest to this, you know, I literally spent every night, every weekend, completely and totally building this situation, building the business plan and everything and learning about the business. And I would always had a goal. For years I drove, cause I lived down in North San Diego County, in a place called Bonzle. And I literally would drive an hour and a half each way to work for years. I did it with Oakley, with Burton, because they were all located up in Orange County, in Irvine. And so you got, you know, I would get home from working at Hart & Huntington, and I always had a goal. I got to type a sentence in the business plan, or I've got to do something with the business. I got to do something with it and keep it moving forward. And well, I did that it took me a year and a half to build the business plan, find the factories, talk to the chemists, work with the chemists, all this kind of stuff. And then I shelved it for 3 months. So I got to know my family again, you know, and just kind of wanted to just refresh the mind. And so I started, you know, just going out and surfing and doing my thing again, and then came back to it and reread the business plan and then made all these changes to it because of just a fresh approach. And that's really how I got to that certain point of having the business plan completed. Didn't know what I wanted to do or didn't know how to start, didn't know how I wanted to start it. And then just kind of had it sitting there and just would talk to friends. They would sign non-disclosure agreements. Just talk to them about this process. And, you know, it got to a point where a friend of mine was working for Rip Curl, and he was the COO of Rip Curl. And he and I had known each other for years. And I went to, I approached him about a different business. I had left Carry Hart.
Okay.
Went to work for a company, a screen printing company here in San Diego, that a large screen printer, that screen printer t-shirts, you know, for Vans and Brixton and Nixon and Reef and all these different brands. And I went to work for him and help him out, so I could be closer to home, so I can work more on the business plan. And that was, you know, that was a big deal, because again, I quit kind of doing what I was doing for years and went a different approach, less pay, less money, but closer to home, to be able to work on this thing. And then I approached my friend, Brian Boston, to talk about screen printing for Rip Curl. And it ended up being, he was a fan of On a Mission, the old, okay. You know, the old accessories brand. So he always asked me, what are you doing? What's going on? How's it, what, you know, are you up to? And I told him about this idea, and he read the business plan, and literally 24 hours after he read the business plan, he calls me up and goes, let's get this thing going. Let's go. And so it was him and his brother who put the first investment into the company. Not huge amounts, yeah, by any means.
So it's really funny to hear your story about being in Vegas and being a spectator, because I think some of the worst sunburns I've ever seen have been spectators. Oh, I was watching my kid play soccer, or, you know, I was at a tennis match or whatever it may be. And I think we've all probably been there where you're sitting in a crowd and you're like, hey, does anybody have any sunscreen?
Sure, sure.
You know, and it's just, it's funny that I think people have sunscreen on the brain when they're going to the beach, but they don't have it on the brain when they're just doing daily activities, in particular kids' sports.
You're like, nailing it on the head.
Every parent I've seen, yeah, is like burnt face, burnt nose. And it's, so it's really, it's funny to hear, you know, your beginning and your aha moment. So when you, you know, when you, you talked about all the nights you sit up and you started thinking about sunscreen, you know, just getting back to the name, like does that surf for a reason?
No.
'Cause you're a surfer. Okay.
No. I, you know, in terms of marketing, in terms of building a brand, you know, the typical way, one of the things I discovered in building this thing and building the business plan was I really wanted to be an action sports brand. And what happens is there's a lot of brands, or there's a few brands that have always come up. They always seem to come up from the same mold, and that's the surf beach mold. And I didn't want to be just that mold or from that mold. So I really worked hard at making sure that my brand wasn't just launched in surf. It wasn't. And when we first launched it, we went after distribution in motocross and in off-road racing, truck racing and things like that, because again, we wanted to speak to the audience from a different perspective. And at the end of the day, there's more audience doing other things than surfing. You know, surfing's still a pretty small sport in the larger scheme of things. But you know, I just wanted to make sure that the brand spoke to all these different people. And one of the things that really hit home was that all these sports that I want my brand to be associated with all conduct their sport on a different surface. And that's kind of how, and then you put surface along with your skin, okay, the surface of your skin, sunscreen, it all kind of just plays out. So again, we're not involved with just surf water. We're involved with asphalt, dirt, grass, you know, ice, snow, you know, there's all sorts of astroturf, whatever. There's a different surface that comes into play and everything. And that's what started it all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's clever. I actually originally thought it was some combination of surf and face.
Yeah. Everybody, yeah. If I had a nickel, I wouldn't need to keep going. But for every time somebody said it, but no, it's not. It's literally about, and you know, I mean, again, as we grow and mature as a company and as a brand, we'll be able to tell those stories in a stronger way. But that was the idea was that we are,
gotcha,
involved in different surfaces.
Okay.
So.
And so when you're trying to develop sunscreen, what do you do? Do you hire a doctor? I mean, where do you go?
Just kidding. No, it's actually, I mean, at the end of the day, sunscreen, as you know, is an OTC product. SPF is an over-the-counter drug. So it's highly regulated by the FDA. And it being highly regulated by the FDA, there's a lot of process. There's a lot of expense that goes into these things. They have to be tested, you know, 6 to 8 months in terms of feasibility and reliability in its product. So, so anyways, with that being said, what we did was, I went after factories that do a lot of SPF product, and that could speak to it and teach me about it. And in those factories, a lot of them have chemists that are constantly developing formulas for companies, you know, for different applications, obviously, if it's makeup or if it's cosmetics and different things like that. So I went after working with chemists. It's not necessarily starting off working with a doctor, but working with chemists. And doctors come into play afterwards, you know, if you want to have a dermatologist test it or those kind of situations.
Okay.
So we worked with chemists, and one of the chemists, Renee is her name. I can't remember her last name off the top of my head. It's been 6-7 years, but she was rated as one of the top two chemists in the country for SPF product. And she has a symposium that she puts on in Orlando every year where she gets something like 1,000 other chemists that come to listen to the symposium. And FDA actually speaks at the symposium. So she was really knowledgeable and helped me with a lot of recipes. So,
and correct me if I'm wrong, but what you were kind of after was a product that you put on, but didn't really feel like you had it on. Is that right? I mean,
yeah, in a way. So kind of going back to my history in surfing and things like that, traveling around the world and growing up. Again, I'm almost 50. So growing up in the late 70s, early 80s and through, you know, middle school, high school, you know, you were cool if you were sunburned. If your nose was peeling, you know, girls thought you were hot. It was all good. You're a surfer. Things are going on. And that was the way I grew up. And so when, you know, I would use sunscreen and my friends would use sunscreen just purely to protect from a burn, not to think about sun protection in general, about your skin. Nobody thought about that. You know, at least in my realm. And it was really just about not wanting to get burnt. And what that ended up doing is most of the time you wouldn't wear it. If it was cloudy outside or if it was other things, you wouldn't really think about wearing it. And it just wasn't something that we really played into. And so, and one of the things that always came about, and this is actually really kind of our main point of this, of where the company has gone and what it wants to be is it was one of the main things with sunscreen is it's uncomfortable to wear. It's sticky, goopy, oily, whatever, gets on your clothes, you know? And so all that was in play when I was growing up. And so when I started this thing, one of the first things I wanted to really focus on was something that's light and clean feeling that always makes, you know, that you can put it on. You don't know that it's on. And it's just comfortable to wear.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the whole start was. And it's, you know, that's why we kind of started labeling ourselves the world's most comfortable sunscreens. Everything I worked on with the chemist or we think about when we come out with a new product is first and foremost, how light and clean can it be and still be effective, but how light and clean can it be?
Yeah. I'm glad to know that I'm not alone in the kind of younger knuckleheadness of like, you know, where I grew up in the Inland Empire, you know, we were an hour from Newport and an hour from Big Bear. So right. It was really cool to go skiing all day and come back with the
goggle
burn eyes.
Right. Exactly.
And the goggle, like, we're so cool. Look at us.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I remember sitting in class and actually peeling my nose,
you know,
from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. And it like, and you know, in our defense, there wasn't a lot of products back then. There was like that little, was it Bullfrog, you know, like the original?
Yep.
And it wasn't easy to find.
Nope.
And I didn't really know how to use it. They're like, oh, you just need a little. I'm like, you know, so.
Right. There's a thing that we say all the time here and you know, maybe I'm wrong for saying this, but we want to be the Red Bull of sunscreen. And the Red Bull of sunscreen, if you watch or you look at Red Bull and how cool they've become and what they've done. I mean, you go on their website, you can't even find their product on their website. It's all marketing. But the idea is there's no cool brand of sunscreen out there. And there's no brand talking like we are. There's successful brands. There's brands that I am aspiring to be like from a growth standpoint, from a success standpoint as a business. But there's no brand really talking like we are or how we want to talk to consumers. And sun protection is such a major part of people's lives, but the thing that people are not answering or that the brands are not answering is comfort. they're not speaking about comfort, because that's the main issue of anybody is comfort. They won't reapply it. Yeah. They won't really dive into their product because it's not comfortable to wear. And so we want to make comfortable sunscreens, and that's our deal. But we want to make them for the 12-year-old all the way to the 65-year-old. You know, we want grandpa to be stoked as the little 12-year-old son or daughter, you know, surfing or playing ball or doing whatever they do, you know, and then mom and dad are happy because the kids are putting it on their own.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I've had parents, you know, knock on wood, have been really fortunate with a lot of really cool kids that we have on our program. And their parents have literally, I've had their parents corner me at events in a good way going, "Hey man, you finally made it. So my kid, you know, yells at me if I'm taking his sunscreen."
Yeah.
So that's, you know, again, those are one of those couple of little feathers in the caps that are cool to hear and be a part of.
Well, you'll be happy to know my 13-year-old who's a surfer.
Right?
But both my kids are surfers, but he will not hop in the water until he's put his sunscreen on and his surface sunscreen.
Right.
And, you know, just thinking like I never, 13-year-old me would never be that way. Let's hop in the water.
Never.
You know, and I think, you know, in addition to the goal that you're going for with the, you know, the light feeling is part of the reason why I called you is your stuff works. I mean, the day I went surfing, I'm like,
right.
I was convinced I was going to get out of the water and just be fried.
Sure.
And I got out and we'd been in the water like 4 hours.
Really?
And that long? I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This, you know, I was really surprised. And that's where literally the next day I went to work, I got to call these people.
Right.
Cause it was really cool. So, you know, you obviously have, you know, your roots in surfing and your roots in motocross. And I think you told me a while back, like your original kind of product and theme was black, right?
Yes.
And what kind of happened with that?
Well, we learn as you go, I guess, as a business, you learn what's smart and what's not so smart. Well, one of the things that we learned pretty early on in a pretty aggressive way was that 80% of the market is female purchase, women purchasing it. So again, husbands, wives, girlfriend, I mean, you know, wives and girlfriends purchasing it for their guys, mom purchasing it for the kids. So that was something that really kind of hit home with us. And we got it because we found out two ways. We found out first, we started hearing it from our some of our key retailers in the sense of where they were showcasing our product or merchandising our product. And it was in the men's section. And it was like, "Hey man, we don't want to be just a men's brand. This isn't about a man or a woman only. This is, you know, about a group of people and it's everybody." And so it struck us. And then we actually had the fortunate, we had the opportunity to speak with a CEO of a big, sunscreen company. And his background had been in cosmetics and wellness and things like that. And he just really hit home with the fact that we look like a male brand, and we kind of put the brakes on right there. And it was a tough decision because everybody really liked what we looked like there. And so it was really important to whatever we did beyond that still kept that same appeal. With the gray and things that we transitioned into now with the water background. One of the things I'm really excited about or really happy with is the fact that I feel we have been able to maintain that original kind of, you know, punch and pop with the packaging. But being able to really transition and shift the brand into a general consumer brand and not just a male or female brand.
Yeah. You know, that's really interesting because in the fitness world, you know, you see a lot of people like open up a gym, mm-hmm. and everything's black and dark. And in right. their mind, they're like, "We want people to be tough and strong." And it's very like Oakland Raider-ish, you know?
Exactly.
And just like you said, what happened was like, no females were coming.
No.
It is like, they didn't like the look of it. It was intimidating. And so literally like they're painting their gyms, you know,
right.
and they're having to kind of redo and rethink everything.
Right.
And,
well, you know, again, it's, you know, when I came up with the original color plan, it was purely about pop and excitement and some of the best examples for that were, you know, Monster Energy, again, where they got the poppy green with the black and it just really makes their logo stand out. You got, my thing is that we don't make one recipe in a bunch of different SPFs. We make a bunch of different recipes. And so how do we call out those recipes? Well, the best way to call them out is with pop color. you know, so you can easily, very easily, as you identify your favorite, identify what you're using, and if it's the right product that you want to be using for that time frame. You know, and again, that's part of our brand makeup, is that we're not just one recipe brand. We're multiple recipes. So it gives you, the consumer, an opportunity to buy something for different parts of their day or different activities that they're involved in. And that was another thing for me was really important, because again, growing up, we had, you got your Coppertone, that's it. Or you got your, you know, Hawaiian Tropic, and but yeah, you get in different SPFs. Well, as science is gone and educated people and really looked at stuff, SPF is incremental in its protection. It's one of the most confusing rating systems I've ever experienced. And it's sad because most consumers cannot truly tell you what an SPF rating system means. No. Or how is it rated?
Yeah.
It's really sad because consumers take it very personal. You know, sun protection is a personal thing. When you find the one you like, you stick with it. Or, you know, mom or dad are really concerned with what little Tommy's, you know, they're putting on little Tommy, but then they don't know you don't know the system, you know, and you think that SPF 100 is going to protect you from all the stuff. Well, no, it doesn't. It gives you, it's 2% more protection from the sun than an SPF 30.
Right.
And people don't know that. And so that's another thing that my goal is with this company, is to educate people in the right way, in a fun way, in a cool way, but educate them and let them know that, you know, that, hey, that these systems are there for a reason, but the reason you're thinking they are is probably wrong.
Yeah.
Or off, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, and I think the other problem with sunscreen is again, also very similar to like the fitness industry, is a lot of time when I'm helping people and I'll suggest a certain piece of equipment or maybe a certain type of shoe. They take my information, but then they go look for like the cheaper version of what I'm telling them.
Sure.
And the stuff normally breaks, or the shoes normally hurt their feet, or, you know, they don't get the effect of what we were hoping for. And so I think this is kind of a similar situation with sunscreen, is like, sometimes you have to maybe pay just a little more than what you're going to get in the drugstore or a mass market retailer. And then people, you know, don't listen and then they get burned,
right. You know?
And, we had a situation a while back where we had ordered some sunscreen from like a promo company, because we wanted to logo the bottles.
Sure.
And everybody got burnt. And it was like, this is really embarrassing. Right. We're a healthcare company. Right.
And everybody looks at you guys. Like,
right. And
hey,
it gave the appearance like we actually made it or something.
For sure.
You know, so yeah. And I'm not, you know, again, I think your products are reasonably priced, but I think sometimes.
Sure. Well, there's conceptions, there's misconceptions. There's things out there. I mean, again, we are in the middle of the market. We're not the most expensive, but we're definitely not the cheapest. And we just focus on making a good product. You know, sometimes we eat it on the margin side as a business. Sometimes we don't, you know, again, we're just focused on making a good product. We call ourselves an economical, a premium brand at an economical price. And we really try and lay true to that. You know, we're not here to gouge people. We're not here to, again, people have this misconception, man. They, you know, they go buy a little 1 ounce bottle of something somewhere and it costs, you know, megabucks, and they think that that's going to solve their problem. And it literally SPF, when they're measuring an SPF level, they're measuring on an ounce of product.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. Like, people don't grasp that an ounce of product is a pretty good sized dollop in your hand, you know, but that's what the SPF rating system is leveled to. So when it says SPF 30, that was measured by usage of an ounce of product. And we sell 6 ounce tubes of lotion, and they don't last people. I'll see people have that thing for 6, 7, 8 months, and it technically should last them 6 times out in the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just don't, people don't think of
that. We're not putting on enough.
No. So again, we, you know, try and make sure that we're speaking to the consumer. We want to speak to everybody. You know, again, we're a brand for everybody. We're not a brand for the Nordstrom shopper or, you know, the Walmart shopper. We're a brand for everybody.
So I think you brought up a really good point, which is kind of the reverse of the looking for discount, is sometimes people pay a ton thinking that, well, because I paid a ton, this has to be super special. And, you know, so I think being right in the middle is the perfect spot to be.
Sure. I mean, some of those brands, some of them brands are, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder, you know. Jim Gennard, the founder of Oakley, like he was into $500 pair of denim jeans, but his consumer that he sold to couldn't afford a $500 pair of denim jeans.
Yeah.
You know, so again, there's all these conceptions and things like that. And again, to me, I want to make a good product and have everybody enjoy using it. And I'm not looking for a certain ilk of human. I'm looking for the human that wants to be protected.
Good.
So.
Well, I'll give you some good news. You know, when we, you know, originally talked about getting together and partnering, you know, and I started telling people, of course, being the organization that we are, everyone's like, well, you gotta talk to the dermatologist. You gotta get the derm's approval. And we did, you know, sure. They looked at the ingredients and looked at the product and you know, we got the thumbs up. So
that's
it was
cool.
Like, shoo.
Well, I'm glad you guys did that. I mean, honestly, it just like the same situation where, you know, I genuinely love when people tell me they love my product, you know, and I'm meeting people all the time in marketing efforts or whatever. And, you know, I've had people approach me that want to ride for us as a sponsored athlete, or they want to do these things. And I'm like, before we ever talk about that stuff, you need to go try my product. Come back to me and tell me what you think of my product. I got to have people around us that like it. If they don't like it, again, we're not for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we have 29 products. Cause we're trying to talk to everybody or at least have something for everybody. And I love it when people go off on their own and do their own research and come up with their own point of perspective of my brand. So
speaking of all the different products, is there one that you would recommend, like that people would wear daily? Like if they're just.
Sure. The first product we came out with, and this is another little side story. I don't know if I told you this before, but the Dry Touch is our main product. We call it Dry Touch, and the lotion's a fragrance-free lotion. And the idea was that when I first came out with it, again, we launched it in motocross and off-road. So the idea was, after talking to a lot of moto guys and the girlfriends and people camping and doing the things they do when they go out and motocross ride out in the desert or whatever, they hated smelling like a banana or smelling like a, you know, whatever, a coconut or something like that.
Yeah, pina colada.
Right. I mean, those things are all great. And we've learned things since then. But our Dry Touch was originally, it's fragrance free. The lotion is. Then the Dry Touch spray has a light fragrance in it, mainly just to hide the fragrance of the alcohol that's in it, and make it more inviting that way. But the lotion, guys were using it. And again, it was designed for moto guys to get, and it was originally designed to keep dust and dirt off of them. So it's really light and clean feeling, and then and designed not to smell like anything. And that was the product that we originally were with. And that's like the product that now we sell to the city of San Diego. We supply it to 15,000 employees with city of San Diego. We sell it a lot in the fishing market. We've done projects with Realtree Camouflage in the fishing market. Mm-hmm. As a collab packaging projects, we've done, I mean, our Dry Touch is now, man, it's, it's everywhere. Baseball, I mean, you name it, man, it is just used everywhere. And it's awesome to see a product start to grow tentacles like that and grow and become used in different formats. And when we got the city of San Diego Fire Department is how they discovered us. There was a couple of firefighters that came to me and they just loved our product. And the Dry Touch is the stuff that they have it now. They've told me that it's in every cop car, every police car, it's in every fire truck, every fire department, it's at the lifeguard towers, everywhere. You know, I think even librarians are using it. So, you know, it's something to be said about that Dry Touch. But the Dry Touch is a great, great product still. And it's child safe, dermatologist tested, hypoallergenic, moisturizing. But really light, really clean feeling. It's got 80 minute, the highest water resistance rating that's allowed, which is 80 minutes. So it has that rating, and it's an SPF 30, which is 97% protection from the sun. So, you know, that one's kind of a home run for, it's been a home run for, still our number one product.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the different products and ingredients. You know, I know there's been like a lot of stories on the news lately about, sure, like a, what is it, a sunscreen ban in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Like what, what are they talking about and what ingredient is causing the problem?
So the Hawaii thing is it's about the reefs, about protecting the reefs. And they've come to the conclusion, and I say they, I don't know who they are. I mean, there's different scientists who've done tests. There's obviously situations back and forth of what constitutes, you know, are the tests truly determined, or are they still in process? And at the end of the day, the tests still are in process, but they deem that oxybenzone and octinoxate were the two ingredients that are causing reefs to bleach or die out.
Okay.
But again, it's inconclusive from what I've gathered. But we as a company are able to answer that. And so what Hawaii did was the state Senate of Hawaii put a bill out there, and it passed the state Senate at this point. And I don't think the governor has not signed it yet. If he signs it, it goes into law. And it would take place in 2021, but it would basically ban the sale of anything that contains those two ingredients. Those ingredients, you know, again, I can go on for days about ingredients, about what's transpired over the years for people. But those two ingredients are the two ingredients. Yeah.
Okay.
But again, we've been able to answer it as a brand. We have 17 products that are oxybenzone free, and we have 13 products that are oxybenzone and octinoxate free.
Okay.
So we, as
those are referred to as like reef safe, right?
Yes. Is that yes. Reef friendly, reef safe. Okay. Are the two terminologies. Yeah.
But I just, you know, I wonder if that passes, like how do you police it? You know?
Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of, well, I mean, I guess it's probably with half the laws are out there on anything. It's a crapshoot if somebody in the bureaucracy sees it and then they complain about it, or somebody files a complaint. That's what usually happens. I mean, especially the thing that I've learned about sunscreen is everybody's very hypersensitive to it. And what I want to do as a company and as a brand and somebody who started a brand because of an idea, or I saw a hole in a market. That's mm-hmm. all. I didn't know anything about sunscreen, but now I become this guy, this advocate guy who's seen and talked to people who've got serious cases of melanoma. You know, I've got people who, you know, I mean, there's a famous motocross racer, Jeff Ward, who's had melanoma on his eye. I've heard of people having it on the bottom of their feet. Wow. Surfers get it because they're laying on their board so long.
Okay.
You know, I had a girl I went to high school with, and she passed away a couple of years ago from squamous cell on her tongue. So there's all sorts of different things that go on that people, you know, that I've just has compelled me to be even more of an advocate of sun protection. And that's something that's just becoming more and more important to me. And I want that to permeate through my brand. And I see two problems that surface is going to solve, and that is the mundane clinical approach to explaining sunscreen, and that sunscreen can be explained, the attributes and the things in sunscreen can be explained in a lot clearer, funner way that the average person will capture it and won't fall asleep during the reading of it, and we can make it fun and that sort of stuff, and then really I want to learn more and teach deeper sense of what these ingredients are and what they do. Because the one thing that's been proven, every year there seems to be something new that comes out about sunscreen, and it scares people. And it shouldn't scare people, and they shouldn't put it out there like that to be scary. They should be informative, but not scary. Because again, the one thing that's proven is that these ingredients protect somebody from the sun. That's the one thing that's been proven. These, most of the ingredients that these guys are talking about or saying are bad have been around for 50 years, something of that nature,
right?
Through cosmetics. A lot of them were invented through cosmetics because women wanted lighter products to put on their face to wear all day. And that's how these things came about. And then they wanted SPF in their product. But again, there's the clinical approach to things that make it very boring to read, so people don't really soak in that knowledge. And then there's just the hypersensitivity of what's going on. You know, it goes back to common sense, I feel, right? It goes back to you know, milk's bad for you, but then it's okay for you. Then it's bad for you, then it's okay for you. I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's hard.
Look at the diet world.
It's hard, yeah. It's, and again, the one constant thing in sunscreen is it is sun protection is better for you, protecting yourself from the sun. These ingredients, most of these ingredients, and especially in our products, the ingredients that are listed are far below the recommendations or the allowability that the FDA puts in. So we are far less than that in most of these ingredients, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think like you said, at the end of the day, you got to try it, you got to like it, and you got to put it on. Exactly. You know, it's like, if you join a gym, you got to go to the gym, you know, it's like, what do you mean? I have to go there too.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think that's important. And it's funny listening to you. It occurred to me that, you know, I do a presentation on habits, like healthy right. habits and turning things into ritual. It's like, I probably need to tell people to start putting sunscreen on every day.
Sure.
You know, then it becomes a habit, like you know, mm-hmm. the city department and the firemen. It's just something they do as part of their normal routine. And I think, you know, we talked about, you know, those people getting burned. It's always such an afterthought.
It's crazy.
Because it's too late.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. You know what I mean? Right. So it's cool. Well, you talked a little bit about, you know, kids, and it seems like you're pretty involved in youth sports. You know, mm-hmm. is that kind of a passion of yours, or is that thinking like, oh, that's a good market, or, you know, how did that kind of come about?
It's a little bit of, I think it's a little bit of all that stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, the youth, you know, mom and dad and consumers were always, I mean, they're looking to protect their kids. And there's always, again, that one constant about protecting your kids in sunscreen world is that, you know, they hate to put it on. Gosh, mom, make me put it on again. God, yeah. I don't want to put it on. So there's always that conversation that takes place with parents. And so one of the ways I thought to combat that is going back to my action sports days. And that is, if you get a hold of the youth at an early age and they believe in your brand and they purchase your brand, mom and dad will purchase your brand, then they grow up and they keep purchasing your brand. And that's kind of what we wanted to go after as well, is going, hey man, we have a cool brand. We're not, you know, weird and doing things that are, you know, adult oriented or whatever. We're going after the kids and showing kids that sun protection is an important part of their life. And to your point, should become part of their hygiene. It should be something that they do every day. Well, then again, you go back to the comfort thing. It's uncomfortable to wear all the time or whatever. So we created products that are light and clean. So the kid feels comfortable wearing it. He's stoked to wear it. He's happy. She's happy to wear it because the branding's cool. They got this great athlete, or they're doing this really cool thing with what they're doing. I love their logo. Whatever those attraction points are, that's what we wanted to be. And it was one of those things. And then obviously I have two kids that have grown up now, but my dad was a Pop Warner coach for 20 years, 25 years, if I remember right. Is that long? One of my partners, my main partner, Brian Boston, he's got little kids who are playing T-ball and stuff. And it just all kind of fit. It just fit. And it fit from many perspectives. And, you know, part of it is some of these athletes, these little kids they're whatever sport they're in, they're doing an amazing job. So they get sponsors early on, they're traveling, they're homeschooling, they're doing whatever. So I needed to get the young kids to where I could give them product and not have to worry about trying to pay them as a paid athlete, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's really about the timeline of a consumer and the power that the child has on the parents in terms of purchasing power, because the kid, whatever the kid likes, if it's something healthy, mom and dad will be all into it. And that's the main thing, is to make sure the family's taken care of.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's an important point. I think, kids are, kind of into, like, it's gotta be cool, right? Like,
yeah.
you don't want to be that oddball.
No.
But I also think, you know, there's still a lot of room to where a coach could have a lot of influence, you know, and if you think about it, if you're coaching a youth team, you're responsible for them for whatever amount of hours that week or weekend, you know, probably a good idea to make sure they're, you know, drinking water, putting on their sunscreen.
Totally.
So it's the last thing you want to do is turn them back to their parents and they're fried, you know?
And there's, you know, again, and coaches are in a really weird position now. I mean, as time's gone on, you know, they can't hand out stuff or they can make suggestions. Cause again, there might be a liability issue,
right?
Things there. And again, with our product, everybody's really hypersensitive to it. It's over counter drugs. So, you know, it's SPF, it's what ingredient chemicals or whatever ingredients are in there. So again, it's really up to the parents and to the, you know, really up to the parents to make those decisions. The coach, to me, I feel, you know, again, there's, it depends on what level or what situation it is, but the coach definitely should be aware and understand sun protection. And I mean, you know, in the course of that time, you know, they're applying it on themselves. Kids are asking, they're watching, they're influenced by them and mentored by them. And, but then we as a brand have got to go after right after the kid, and we got to make sure the kid knows what's up and, that they know that there's a cool alternative for them out there. And again, it becomes like brushing teeth every night.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting it on. And again, I've had parents come up to me already, and it was really cool. I mean, it was really humbling, and it was humbling, you know, it, regardless of where this business goes and if it's successful and we get, you know, we're in the 5-year hump right now. So we're in that position to keep on going, and we've proven ourselves in certain ways, but to know what we did was parents were really happy with it because the kids liked it, and the kids are yelling at mom and dad because they can't find their lip balm or their Surface this or that and the other. Man, that's a home run, and that's part of the what I truly want my brand to be a part of. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And I think along those lines, you started out really like what I would call like core, like you were like surf shops and was that important to you as a surfer yourself?
Sure. You know? I mean, again, we started out in motocross and off-road.
Because surfers are kind of a tough market, actually.
They're radically tough. Yeah. They can be pains in the butt, you know, and then lack of a better word or phrase. But, the market, you know, if you look again, coming from the apparel side of things, you know, with Oakley and Burton and all these guys, you know, the Targets and the Walmarts and all these guys of the world, they always look to the core market for their what's happening in these worlds. And it really kind of goes back to the youth as the king of that, you know. But it's for me, I don't know any other way. Growing up and always having to work with the core markets, sell to the core markets, and profit from the core markets as a business, you know, person. The core market was always, I don't know any other way. I have to please the core market. My brand has to exist and be a part of the core market. And we will always look to the core market for inspiration of new ideas and new products and of legitimacy of new products. Always. Because those guys are just living it. A lot of those people in the core market, especially surfers, will forego a career path because they want to go surf. You know, they're very dedicated to their craft.
And they'll tell you if your product sucks.
I mean, 100% they, yeah, right. They'll tell you. Yeah, they have no.
They don't hold back.
No holds barred on that one. But it's part of my DNA. It's always been a part of my DNA. I've worked in surf shops my whole life. I've been around it all the time. And we're kind of leaning on surf, but even in the motocross and everything else, again, the core market, the guys who are the avid. The people are the avid players who just go do it because they love to do it. If it's a hiker who, you know, they're down, they know the shoes they want to wear, they know how they want to, you know, they got it dialed. And when they go on their hikes or they go on their camping trips or whatever, those are the people that I want to impress. Those are the ones I want to make happy because, again, the general consumer will listen to those people.
Yeah. And,
I mean, that's just always the way it's been, you know.
And I think if, you know, somebody that's really testing the elements using something that works, mm-hmm. you're like, okay, if it works in water, mountain, snow, like it's going to work for me while I'm watching my kid play soccer. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think that's a good, good sure. correlation. Like that's probably a pretty good endorsement.
Well, yeah. And if you take the average person, they're conducting their sport maybe 2 hours a weekend. 3 hours a weekend, maybe if they're lucky, they get to go out and play 2 days in a row.
Yeah,
I don't know. You know, but the majority of people are conducting their sport for a minute part of their time. So we have to lean on guys who are doing it, or guys and girls who are doing it in a much stronger way. Just for for actual, you know, effectiveness of the product. And then can we take that and mold it into the general consumer? And that's what we, and again, that's what happens with a lot of, especially products like ours, I consider that are utility products that are part of your life. You know, they're not a fashion statement.
Right.
So again, you want to make sure that those people are doing it, and people don't, you know, people aren't doing their sports all the time. They're doing it again. They're weekend warriors. They're working during the week. They're construction workers, valet parkers, whatever during the week, but on the weekends then they're doing their sport or in the early mornings or whatever, but it's usually not all the time. So I need those yeah. key athletes, you know, and that key core, acceptance.
Well, we are about out of time here. So a couple of things. You guys are going to come to the Get Fit Festival, right?
100% right.
Okay.
We're in.
Cool. And, you know, so definitely for the Kaiser Permanente physicians and employees, they can find more about you on our website, getfitsoquel.org. Where else can people find you?
Obviously, we're big on social media. So Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Amazon, where you can find us, our website, you know, so there's all those touching points.
Okay.
And obviously retailers everywhere.
Okay.
Besides Kaiser, you know, but retailers everywhere.
So, okay. So one last question, kind of
sure.
non-related to anything, but whenever I tell somebody I surf, and I use the term loosely, I should sure. say try to surf, first thing out of their mouth, like, are you scared of sharks? Right. So are you scared of sharks?
Not until I see one. Don't think about them until you see one.
Yeah.
No, I've been, you know, again, I've been doing this a long, surfing a long time. And, you know, over the last few years, there's been a lot of hype and a lot of stuff going on with the sharks around Southern California where we're at. And again, you just don't think about them
yeah.
until you see them. I've seen them in the water. I've been not chased out of the water by a shark, but definitely scrambled to get out of the water. But whatever. I don't yeah. know. You know, yeah. there's other things to worry about, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
I think you're right. Out of sight, out of mind.
Right,
but
right.
if there is a sign up on the beach, I'm like, maybe I'll rethink it.
I mean, I've had more problems with blue bottle jellyfish and
yeah.
you know, seals jumping up out of the water and barking at you. That yeah. scares the crud out of me. Yeah. And
they're aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, there's other things in the water that would scare me far more than a shark. You know, so.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So everybody get out and surf.
Right,
it's a lot of fun. And it's, I think it's a lot like golf. Like you could have a bad day, but one good hole, it's like you catch one good wave.
Done
it's
deal.
Done deal. You yeah. want to go back. So,
yeah.
So super cool. So, thank you so much for your time. It's been really fun getting to know you and the company. And, I hope some people have, you know, time to check it out and try some of the products. Cause I think they'll be, be pleased and most importantly protected.
There you go. That's it, right? So, that protection starts at the surface.
There you go.
So, right.
So, there you all go. Right. So thanks for clarifying the name, by the way.
Yeah,
that was cool. I'm glad everybody got to hear that. So all right. So there you have it, folks. Conversation with Mr. Guy Trotter of Surface Sun Care. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.